Welcome to the 2012 Ambassador Seminar, and thanks for coming out this morning.
Amen.
I was informed today is the Army-Navy game, so apparently you're giving up a lot for being out here. And I always like raising the bar for people to come out. That's why we have this seminar in December, to keep away all the folks who can't come out in the cold weather, you know. So you guys are the elite, the few, the dedicated, so thank you for that. Thanks for coming out. It'll be an exciting day today, so I'm glad to have you here with us. And if you did not get one, as you come in, there's people handing them out, and on the table in the back are these bulletins, which will be your time guide today. It has on the front the date of the seminar, and inside we'll have the itinerary for today and tomorrow. And so I'll be going through that here shortly, but first some preliminaries. Okay, for those of you who have not been here, and this is your first time at Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship, there are toilets downstairs if you have to go to the bathroom. There's two ways to get there. One, through the stairs in the back. The second way, through these doors, is another stairway back down there. So downstairs is where the food's at. And so if you get tired of teaching, there's guards down there to make sure you don't snack until lunch. But lunch will be provided later. And then there's toilets downstairs and outside. The trailer outside is also for your benefit. So if you remember the days of the outhouse, that's what we're doing out here. So you do that as well. The books in the back on the shelves are available to you for free. Okay, that is part of our ministry, that we want people to be edified by right doctrine. And so when you come here, you can take the materials that you need that you're going to read, and or if you know someone that will read them, pass them out. The tracts in the back right-hand side of the room there, the left-hand side of the room, the way you're sitting, are also free. Please take one or more or a handful of those. Hopefully those tracts will be gone by the weekend. So we're expecting things to disappear, so make sure you grab what you need, okay? Especially if you don't live in the immediate area. Okay, we will replenish the shelves later. So these are all free, no charge. We don't want your money. We're not going to be passing plates. We're not offering a free will offering, and there's no buckets here for money. So we're not doing that, okay? And so everything here is for your benefit. Also, the food downstairs is also free for lunch, and so there's no meal cards or donations for that as well. So that's all free and provided by people here at Grace Ambassadors. Apart from that, I told you where the exits are at. There's an exit right there. There's six windows here. If you get tired of teaching, you can just jump right out, okay? We will not condemn you if you walk out the door, but hopefully that you'll be willing to stay and then listen to some of the doctrine we're talking about, and with an open Bible and with a mind ready to hear God's Word and to think about it, that you would consider some of the things that we're going to say today. This is not a closed meeting. This is not a formal Grace Ambassadors meeting that we normally have on Sundays and Tuesdays. Normally we'll meet on Sundays and Tuesdays, and sometimes I tell people that, you know, when we meet on Sundays and Tuesdays, it's for our edification, the Grace Ambassadors who choose to come here. And contrary to where some churches will say, bring your friends to church to get them saved, we don't say that. No. If people walk in the door on a Sunday and Tuesday, they may be scared of some of the things that we talk about because we're so deep into the Bible. We're talking about things it takes weeks to catch up to that they'll freak out. And so ministry needs to happen outside these doors. They need to happen out there. And so today is not a formal Grace Ambassadors meeting, and therefore you should be willing to ask your questions. Don't be afraid to question the teachings that are up here. In fact, we'll have time throughout the day for you to ask your questions. Okay? You will not be thrown out. You'll not be called a heretic. You're going to be asking your questions, and they are welcome. Rarely do you see that in a church either, that people say, "Do you have questions?" As a lot of people do. And normally at church, you come, you listen, you go. But today, you listen, and you can ask questions back. You can respond. You can say, "Hey, why don't you quote that verse? What about this one over here?" So please do that. So jot down your questions and your thoughts about the lessons today so that you'll have plenty of time today to ask your questions. The itinerary for today, we'll just briefly go through it. It's on the bulletin that you got when you got in. Of course, I am Justin Johnson. I apologize for not introducing myself. I am the preacher and teacher here at Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship, and so I do teach here on Sundays and Tuesdays, and if you found us through the website, a lot of the stuff on the website I've written as well. So no doubt you're familiar with me, but I may not be as familiar with you. So forgive me if I treat you somewhat like a stranger. I don't want to be a stranger to you, but you probably heard more of me than the other way around. But I'll be talking this morning at 10 o'clock about the preaching of the cross, introducing the theme of the seminar, and after that we'll open it up for questions. We'll take a break until 11:30, where Jeremy Johnson will be talking about the missing cross, where he'll be dealing with how to study the Bible and where to find the preaching of the cross in the Bible. After that, we'll have questions again, and then a break. We'll have lunch at 1 o'clock. You can stay for lunch, or you are able to leave if you want, okay? Not many restaurants out here, so that was strategic. There's an advantage to being in the cornfield. People stay, you know. But we do have lunch provided for you so that you can eat freely downstairs. At 2 o'clock after lunch, when you're feeling tired and don't really want to do anything, that's when we're going to make you sing. And so if you don't want to sing, stay downstairs and eat dessert. But otherwise, you can come up here, and we have a grace hymnal scattered throughout the pews where we have taken hymns and popular songs and reworked the words to fit with right doctrine. Okay, so you won't want to miss that if you're interested in music and how music affects people's beliefs and wrong doctrine. We'll be talking a little bit about songs and right doctrine. At 2:30, Brother Terrence McLean is visiting us from Ohio. He'll be talking about the ineffectual cross, the things that people add to the cross to make it of none effect. And then, of course, after that, there'll be questions and answers, and I will finish out the day with the mystery of the cross, explaining the difference between the cross according to prophecy in your Bible and according to mystery. Now, if that's curious to you, what I've just said, no doubt you'll hear more about that throughout the day. So, stay tuned. Meanwhile, that is the itinerary for today. The question and answers, like I said before, are for you to ask your questions, so please don't be timid about doing that. There's no in or out crowd today. Okay, we're not trying to get you to be a member of some club or cult. This is just a public seminar, as our promotional materials have said. Okay, so that's what's going on. Tomorrow morning, of course, we'll address this at the end of the day. We're going to meet at 9:30 to do some more singing, and 10 and 11, which is our normal times. Okay, are there any comments right now or questions or things that I missed? I see a bunch of children piling up in the back. A lot of you were wise to keep your children at home, but those of you who thought otherwise are fine. It's okay. We have teaching for the children as well. A lot of the folks' faces I see that are familiar. Mr. J will be teaching this morning. I don't know where he's at the moment. He's right there. Okay. And so Mr. J will be teaching. And if you have younger children, babies, or young children who cannot read or write, Allison, who's holding the baby in the back, she can take them. And your children will be stored behind the stage. There are two rooms back there. Okay, so if you need to get up and leave and get your children, they're back there. So the children now can be dismissed with Mr. J and with Allison. Please, who's the line leader here? All right, thank you. Look at this. Where's the processional music? All right, thank you. All right. Great. And with that, we will begin our seminar. Please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The theme of today's seminar and tomorrow is the preaching of the cross. Now, hopefully, we can all come together on common ground at a public seminar about the Bible to agree that the gospel is the preaching of the cross is what we need to be saved.
Amen.
But we're going to introduce that this morning to define exactly what that is. And so we're not talking about sectarian beliefs here. We're not talking about the minute, trivial, inconsequential things that people may argue, dispute about. We're trying to bring the level way down this morning to the very fundamental of Christianity. In fact, what defines Christianity. And so let's be clear, what we're trying to do is when we introduce this topic of the preaching of the cross, is we're not talking about some of the trivial things. We are talking about what defines Christianity, the preaching of the cross. What is the gospel that saves us? So this is something that is crucially important. It should be for Christians everywhere. People are interested in that. And yet what we'll find is that the preaching of the cross really is something we hear less and less of among Christians in name, or Christians who call themselves that. We hear less of the preaching of the cross, even in churches.
Yes.
You say, well, how can that be? Christians, they have the cross. Every church you drive by has a cross outside on their door, has a cross on top of their church. I drew some crosses up here. Maybe you're familiar with some of them. You got the wooden cross, and who doesn't like this, right? You got the regular Protestant cross over here. You got a papal cross. You got a cross used by the Pope that's on a stick, which has the world on below it with a cross on the top. You got the Xmas cross, right? You all know that the X is the old cross. No? Oh, okay. We'll put Christ back in Christmas then. Well, then you got the Trinitarian cross there. We got the three points on each end. There's lots of crosses out there. And what has happened with the cross is that it's turned into a symbol. It's turned into an appellation for Christianity. A third of the world calls themselves Christians.
Yes.
Okay, and yet I have my doubts, and not with willingness, but I have my doubts that a lot of them don't know the gospel. Okay, they don't know what is the meaning of the cross. I've shown you some crosses. Do you know what these mean? Do you know that when the Pope has his pole with a circled orb with a cross on top, that represents his dominion on the earth? Do you know what that means? Do you know the papal cross and why there's three? Because he has authority over three spheres. So there's meaning behind crosses. There's meaning behind the symbols. There's meaning behind the picture that a lot of people miss. And instead, people pile up around a banner. The cross is treated as an icon, as jewelry, and people hold it around as if it's magical or there's something about it that makes them Christian. We live in a time in America where people are born Christian. The Bible doesn't even know about this. But people are born, apparently, with a cross in their hands. They put it on tithes. People wear it as clothing. That's called a clothes illustration. They use it as an ornament. Okay, and so when we talk about the preaching of the cross, we are not talking about some banner of which all Christians can gather around. Now, I just got done saying, hopefully, we can all gather around the preaching of the cross, but I'm not talking about some banner with a cross on it. We can all march down the road. I'm talking about a message. What does it mean to carry that cross? What is it about? What is the preaching of the cross? And so that's the topic this morning. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God." And so again, we've seen throughout history where you have the Christians and you have the Muslims. You know, there are other symbols out there you may recognize. Do you know this one? It's got the crescent with the star. Yes. We all know that symbol, right?
Yes.
Made popular by the Ottoman Empire. And so we have a symbol here, and we have a symbol here. What's the difference? People are born in one country, born in another country. A lot of people say you're born as a Christian. You're born in as a Muslim. Not true. We're talking about doctrine this morning.
Yeah.
What is it that makes you a Christian? What is the preaching of the cross? Who cares about what's on your clothing? Who cares about the symbols? You know, this wooden cross, which was used as an execution device, is meaningless without the gospel in the Bible, which is called the
Amen.
Preaching of the cross.
Amen.
Okay, so that's what we're trying to narrow the field down this morning and throughout the day, is to the doctrine. What is it that saves us? What is so important about the preaching of the cross that Paul says, "Unto us which are saved, it is the power of God."
Yes.
It's not a talisman. It's not a necklace or a symbol that somehow gives us energy. It's a message about a man and a thing that he did for us. Okay, and so that's what we're going to be dealing with this morning. The cross is used as an icon and symbol for Christianity, but it's the message that defines Christianity. Now, the world, the flesh, your flesh, and the devil oppose the preaching of the cross. And I say that knowing well that a lot of people who carry crosses are opposing the preaching as they carry it.
Yeah.
Have you seen those guys who take the wooden cross here in the middle? They put some wheels on it and they walk around. There's a guy in Kokomo that does that every so often. He'll walk through the city with a cross. Some people make the news for walking across the country with a literal cross.
Yeah.
What is he doing? Is he preaching the cross? Is he making a stand for the cross? What does that mean, that he takes a literal cross and carries it around? What does it mean that before Christ even came, during the Egyptian Empire, there was hieroglyphs with Egyptians wearing cross necklaces? What is that all about? Christ hadn't even died yet. So there are symbols that have nothing to do with the Bible and the doctrine.
That's right.
And so when we talk about the preaching of the cross, we need to come to God's Word to see what it has to say about it. Okay. Now, to the world opposes it, and history has tried to hide the preaching of the cross. And again, when I say that history is trying to hide it, you may think, well, what about the Western civilization and the European empires that were Christian? Don't you know Henry VIII back there with England? That was a Christian nation. Even though he converted to Christianity, to Protestantism, because he wanted to get a divorce.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why he changed from Catholicism. It was political back then. But, you know, we look in history and we see Christian nations, we see Christian civilizations. What is that exactly? Why is it Christian? Why is it that whole armies now are baptized as Christians? You know, how does that come to be? Is that the preaching of the cross? And so in the Crusades, you have the guys carrying a cross, and you have the guys over here in the name of Muhammad and Allah, and they're fighting each other. Is the preaching of the cross those guys with the banners with the crosses on it? No, it's not. So history tries to cover up the message of the cross with people who carry symbols.
Yeah.
But people who have these all over their clothes and all over their churches, and yet what's missing is the preaching of the cross, the message of a man who did something for you that has doctrinal consequences in your life. Okay? So the history tries to hide it. The prince of the power of the air in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, says, if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. The gospel being the preaching of the cross. If people don't know it, even if they carry a cross, even if they have Jesus on a stick, as the Pope does, okay, even if in your vampire movies, if you hold a cross up, the vampire goes, ah! That's myth. That's legend. That's not real. It's not biblical. Okay? So there's a lot of mysticism around it.
Yeah.
Sometimes people declare Christ died on a cross as if the fact that he died on a cross is magical. And so if we have a cross and carry it around, you know, there's power in that. Because they don't understand the message of the cross, the preaching of it. Okay? And so the prince of the power of the air in 2 Corinthians 4, 5 says the God of this world blinds the minds of them lest they believe the glorious gospel. And so there is an evil power out there. There is the devil and Satan who's opposing God and his word, who is trying to blind minds by confusing doctrine. He's not trying to wage a war against people who carry physical crosses or have crosses on their front door, or you think you're protected by the spiritual demons when you go home, you put a cross on your doors, on your walls. That's not what's going on. We're talking about doctrine. The devil is trying to confuse what is right doctrine. And so when we say this morning, we're talking about the preaching of the cross, trying to explore what that is, where it's at in the Bible, why is it missing from so many churches. We're aware that a lot of people have the cross, sing about it, talk about it, and don't know what the message is. Okay? You can see it evidenced by how they lived, by what they do. Not that fruits get you saved, but you can see by what they do, that they don't understand the preaching of the cross. And so, religionists also, you know, the preaching of the cross, as we'll learn today, is only useful for unrighteous people. Okay? And so as we talk about the preaching of the cross this morning and the gospel that saves, it can only be applied to you. You can only claim it if you first claim that you are an ungodly person, an unrighteous person.
Yes.
And because of that, it's an offense to religious people.
Yes.
Which is interesting because people think Christianity is a religion.
Yes.
And so a third of the world is the religion of Christianity. This is a sign of the religion of Christianity. That's the religion of Islam. Right? There's a religion there. And to religionists, when you say only ungodly people find use with the cross, they go, oh, no, no, we find use with the cross. We use it to have dominion on the earth. We use it when we fight our battles.
Yeah.
Right? Our earthly battles. Well, no, that's not what the preaching of the cross talks about. So again, I'm trying to divide a line here in the first introduction session here between what people proclaim as the cross, the banners that people carry, and the message, the preaching of the cross. Okay? So religionists find it an offense. People in religion who are trying to work their way to heaven, they stumble over the true message of the cross because it doesn't meet what they want. They're trying to be a good person. Christians are good people. And so the cross represents righteous people, right? Wrong. The preaching of the cross is only given to sinners.
Amen.
This is contrary to the majority of the world, the way they think even about Christianity.
Yeah.
And so we're exploring the preaching of the cross. We need to know what that means. What is it? The world in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, sees the preaching of the cross as foolishness. And now you know why. It can't get you any power on earth. History tries to hide it. The prince of the power in the air tries to confuse the doctrine. It doesn't seem very scientific, very intelligent in the world's wisdom. And even our flesh, religious people, religious flesh, doesn't like it because it tells you you're no good. And so we see it opposed on every side. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It's the power of God to save. So when we talk about the preaching of the cross, we're not talking about a symbol, we're not talking about the execution device, we're talking about a message, a gospel, a good news that saves those that believe it.
Amen.
Okay? That's what the preaching of the cross is.
Amen.
Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, we see here as Paul is talking about this preaching of the cross and explaining to the Corinthians that this is what I told you when I was with you. He lists out three elements here about the preaching of the cross. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 2, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so there are three elements that I want to talk about for the rest of the time that make up the preaching of the cross. Number one is it's preaching. Okay, which you'll see that there's a bigger issue with that than you may think. Number two, it's about Jesus Christ. Paul says it's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's His death on the cross, His death and resurrection from the cross. So it's preaching, Christ, and the cross. Those are the three elements that make up the preaching of the cross. Nothing more, nothing less. Amen. That's the preaching of the cross. Okay, the gospel is not, the preaching of the cross is not a lifestyle.
Amen.
Again, we have a symbol, and what do people think this symbol means? That means I'm a good person. I'm a holy person. I go to that church. We're better people over there. No. The preaching of the cross is not a lifestyle.
Amen.
It's a message about a man and what he did for you 2,000 years ago. That's what saves you. Okay? Not a lifestyle. Not your lifestyle. It's not a habit. It's not a ritual. It's not some sort of a religious ritual that you perform. That's not what the preaching of the cross is. It's not your behavior. Your behavior is not the content of the preaching of the cross, the power of God to save you. It's not a club. And so we don't talk about the preaching of the cross being the gateway to a club of better people. No, that's not what it is. It's not a club. It's not your habit. It's not a lifestyle. It's not a practice. A lot of people try to practice religion. They must not be very good at it, apparently. But they try to practice religion. Well, that's not what the preaching of the cross is. The preaching of the cross requires someone to preach it and someone else to hear it. They believe it, and the power of God saves them through the message. Now, I know you're all in the front of your seats going, what is the message? What is the message, right? Well, that's what we're talking about here. The preaching of the cross. We'll talk about it all day. Okay? Preaching the gospel requires a message be communicated. Yes. Have you ever heard people say, well, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words? Yeah. You ever heard that?
Yeah.
They claim that, the St. Francis of Assisi, and that's not really an accurate historical claim, but people have said it quite often.
Yeah.
I remember when I first heard that, ignorant of a lot of Bible doctrine, I thought, wow, that's so profound. That makes me want to live better. Because, you know, some people just preach the cross. I'm going to live it. Here's the truth. You cannot live the preaching of the cross. You can't. The preaching of the cross is not something you do. It's something Christ did for you.
Amen.
You see? And so it's the gospel, the preaching of the cross, must be communicated with words. You cannot say, look at how I live. By the actions that I do, you can understand that Christ died 2,000 years ago for your sins. You can't do that. No matter how many times you crucify yourself. Now, I'm not talking spiritually there. There are people in the Philippines who put nails through their hands. There are people in Central America who put nails through their hands every Easter to mimic Christ on the cross. That's not what the preaching of the cross tells us to do. Okay? And so, the preaching of the gospel, and if necessary, use words, is wrong. You must use words to preach the gospel. You ever heard people say, well, I'm going to be the gospel to somebody. I'm going to be it. You can't be it. It's words. It's a message that you speak. You preach, rather, to people. They hear it and they believe it.
Amen.
Okay? People say, I want to live out the gospel. You can't. The gospel changes you. I understand that. And when you understand the doctrine gets inside of you and works effectually in you. And your life will be changed, yes, but you cannot live out the gospel. The gospel is something you preach. It's the message that you hear and believe. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, not people's actions. Okay? And so, you can't live out the gospel. For the preaching of the cross to be known, mouths must open. Mouths must pronounce. Mouths must announce something. Okay? And it must announce the preaching of the cross. And if people don't know what it is, if no one has ever told you, never pronounced, if you can't articulate the preaching of the cross, you need to consider whether you know it or not.
Amen.
You need to consider whether you're saved. I know there's a lot of difficult doctrines out there that, well, you know, I'm still trying to grasp that. But the preaching of the cross is pretty simple, folks. You're a sinner, the ungodly person, for the only people for which the cross applies, and you need someone, something, to atone for your sins, or else you're going to face a righteous God who's going to condemn you and judge you righteously for your sins. Christ was the payment for that. He was a man, a God in man flesh, who died on the cross for your sins. Right? Trust what He did for your salvation and you're saved. That's it. I mean, can you understand that? Christ died for your sins in your place and He resurrected. There's the preaching of the cross. And yet, for it to be known to people, you have to open your mouth.
Yes.
You can't mime it. You can't do a shadow play of it. Okay? Romans 10:17 again says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? The preaching of the cross is such an offense to people who try to come to truth only by their own thinking. I come to truth by evidence, scientific facts. as if that's contrary to what we would want to do as well. But that's the only thing they listen to. Whenever someone tells them anything, nope, ain't going to hear it. Ain't going to hear it unless I've thought it out, unless I've discovered it. Self-discovery, meditation, whatever you want to call it, the preaching of the cross is preaching. Preaching meaning God gave us words and we communicate it. It's not just the preaching like you hear in the political elections where they preach and stump about, you know, what they're going to do in the election cycle. I'm talking about God's revelation. God gave words to man that, you know what, we couldn't figure out. That's the point. The things in this book that are the preaching of the cross, we could not figure out. You say, well, there's lots of civilizations that taught things like the Ten Commandments. A lot of civilizations say, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's not the preaching of the cross, folks.
No.
That's not the gospel. The preaching of the cross is something that nobody could have articulated or discovered by sitting around and staring at nature. They can't figure it out. God had to reveal it, and so it's by the foolishness of preaching, he says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21, to save them that believe. The reason why the preaching is foolish is not because I'm a fool up here, I act like a clown. It's because when people hear me preaching, what I say is God's word, they're going, oh, no, philosophers didn't think this up. Scientists didn't think this up. Where'd you get it? And I say God's word. And they laugh at me. You see, that's why it's foolish. Okay, it's articulating, preaching words that God has given us in his Bible, and that's why it's an offense. And so that's why God has made foolish the wisdom of the world. Because in all the world's wisdom, there's no explanation of what they're going to do with their sins. They can think up all the psychology, all the self-esteem philosophy in the world. It doesn't atone for their sins. How are they going to deal with that? The only way to do it is by what God has provided in the preaching of the cross. Okay, so the preaching of the cross is foolishness to the world, to them that perish, to the world, but it's God has chosen the foolishness of the cross to save them that believe. Okay, the world sees it as nonsensical. They see it as something that since we didn't come up with it, then, you know, that's not true. Preaching and the preaching of the cross comes from God's revelation. Preaching is not the way the world typically thinks of it. You know, when the world thinks of preaching, they think of two people. There's the fire and brimstone guy over here who's telling it, you're a sinner, do the law, and that's what they hear. Do the law, be better, turn your life around, turn over your new leaf, that sort of business. That's the fire and brimstone guy. If you don't, hellfire, right? There's the brimstone. Then you got the other guy over here who's polished, who's been to school, who knows the words, and articulates the words to you in a way that is attractive to you. And so they're preaching love, because love is what everybody needs. And this is what the world... That's not preaching either.
No.
Yeah, that's what the world sees. You're either a fundamentalist over here preaching fire and the law, or you're over here, you're educated in seminary, and you're beyond all that. You're preaching human unity. You know, that's not what biblical preaching is.
Amen.
Biblical preaching is taking God's word, saying, hey, this applies to reality. This fits. This works for me. This saves me. And you're going to articulate it. Okay? So it's not just rhetoric. It's not tricks, it's not illustration, it's not how can I apologetically present this so it tricks someone and persuades them into believing it. That's not it. This is truth.
Amen.
If people don't believe it, you know what? They've rejected it. Okay? And so it's not about the apologetics, it's not about the public speaking skills. Now there is a certain degree of communication skills that are involved in preaching. I understand that, and we need better preachers and whatnot and that sort of thing. But you know what? That's not what the preaching of the cross is. Okay, we're talking here today about proclaiming, declaring the message of Christ and Him crucified, what He did on the cross for you. Okay? Now, things can be read, things can be written, things can be said and studied, and it is not preaching. There's a lot of scholars, a lot of theologians that study the cross, that study Christ, that study how to preach. And yet they're not declaring, or you may even know, the preaching of the cross. I remember in all my college courses sitting in class, and never once did I hear someone stand up and go, amen, preach it. You know, the college professors don't preach, and yet every day throughout the year they're talking about stuff. They're teaching, they're communicating things, but it's not preaching. Okay, it's not preaching. They're trying to persuade you of things even. 1 + 1 = 2 and whatever formulas they've got there. But it's not preaching, the preaching of the cross. Okay? There are scholars, there are innumerable theologians that are paid theologians that teach Christ and teach the cross, but they do not preach Christ on the cross.
Yes.
Now, if all I said to you doesn't make sense, hopefully it will the next half hour or so. Okay? They talk about Christ. They talk about the cross. Right? Christianity, world religions. You ever heard of religious studies? The whole industry was invented by people who don't believe the Bible.
Yes, that's true.
But they teach Christianity. They talk about Christ. Who is the guy that said that Christ is my favorite philosopher? Right? I mean, the people who say he's a good man, that, you know, he's a great moral leader, he's the foundation of society. Wait, that's not the preaching of the cross.
No.
We're a Christian nation, you know, and that's not the preaching of the cross. The preaching of the cross is what Christ did on the cross 2,000 years ago for your sins.
Amen.
That's the preaching of the cross. And so there are a lot of things that can be read, written, studied, and it's not preached. Okay? We must have words to preach the gospel. We must call men. We must persuade them. We must motivate them to respond to God's words. That's what preaching is.
Yes.
You know, you can leave the college course and having learned it go, well, that's facts, you know, boring, you know. Preaching requires a response. Either you're going to accept the gospel or you're not. By default, you've rejected it if you don't say, I'm going to believe that. Preaching the cross is a proclamation, an appeal to people that this is the answer to your problem. Okay? And so the preaching of the cross calls men to respond to God's word. If we're not calling men, if we're not preaching to them, if we're not declaring God's words, it's not the preaching of the cross. And you can already see that a lot of people who carry crosses aren't doing this. Okay? They're creating a religion. They're creating a good work system, a you know, righteous club. But they're not preaching Christ and Him crucified. Using God's word sounds too preachy, doesn't it? Ironic. People don't want to sound preachy. Because when you sound preachy to someone, what that means, how being preachy is compared to your normal conversation, is you're trying to get somebody to believe something. You're trying to persuade them. And people don't like that. You can't tell me what to think, they say. Right? So in polite society, we don't sound preachy anymore. That's why people avoid the Bible.
Yeah.
The Bible, at least Paul's epistles, they preach a lot.
Right?
There's a lot of preaching in here. So when you use these words, it's a lot of areas black and white. Right, and so people don't like that sound, right? But hopefully today you'll hear very clearly what the preaching of the cross is, and trying to divide it from all the falseness that's out there about the cross. Okay, so the preaching of the cross requires preaching. Secondly, the preaching of the cross requires Christ. Now, like I said, when you hear about preaching and think about preachers, typically what comes to mind are those two extreme examples: the fire and brimstone preacher, then the polished, you know, really somniferous sounding guy who puts you to sleep when you listen to him, you know, but he's the righteous guy and I'm not, you know. He's closer to God and I'm not. But we're not talking about general preaching against sin, the devil, the Democrats. That's not what we're preaching. Okay, that's not preaching the cross. Okay, there's a lot of that going on too. People preach against sin, and isn't it a right thing? We shouldn't sin, right? Sin's a bad thing. And we need some more preaching against sin, but that's not the preaching of the cross. So all the legions of fire and brimstone preachers will say, that's wrong to be homosexual. That's wrong to commit adultery. That's wrong. You're going to hell for that. You know what? They're right. But that's not the preaching of the cross. That's not good news to anybody. So, you know, what's that? Okay, that's not the gospel anywhere. Preaching against the devil. Well, who wouldn't want to be against the devil? Right? If there was a devil who's trying to promote lies, deception, destruction, and death, who in their right mind would say, yeah, that's what I want. I want death instead of life. I want destruction instead of productivity, right? Who would deny that? And so you have the Christian circles who preach against Christianity being the religion that promotes productivity and success and progress. Well, of course we're all before that, but that's not the preaching of the cross, okay? Preaching against the politics and all that business, that's not the preaching of the cross. A Christian wouldn't vote for that guy. That's not the cross, folks. You know, that's not what saves people.
Amen.
What party they're in, okay? Preaching good works is inadequate. We read in the Bible that preaching good works is beggarly. It's weak. It has no power to save you. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, Paul says, there's none righteous, no, not one. And we don't have time this morning to expose the first three chapters of Romans, but please go and read that yourself. It only takes a few minutes. Romans 1, 2, and 3 explains that every man is without excuse before God, because we're all sinners. And even those of you who think you know better, Romans chapter 2, even those of you who think you know better, you do the same things that you know better to do, right? And you have pleasure to do them sometimes. So preaching good works, just me trying to exhort you to be better, that can't save you. You can try to be a better person as hard as you can, and it will never atone for your sins.
That's right.
You can try to do all the good works, attend all the church services that you want, and it will not do one thing to save you. The preaching of the cross is the power of God to save. You must know that. Amen. You must believe it. Okay? And so, preaching works is inadequate. Galatians 3 verse 10 said, cursed is he that does not continue in everything to do the law. In every point of the law to do it. If you don't do everything the law said, you might as well give up. Yes. People know about the Ten Commandments. What about the other 612, 613 there? There's a lot of laws in your Bible that people don't nail to their courthouse. And if you don't do all of them, then you're cursed according to the law system. And so there's a big problem here when we hear about preaching about good works. Preaching of the cross requires a Savior, requires Christ. That's who He is. He's a Savior. Preaching the cross is not follow God. Preaching the cross is not believe in God. Talking to Carol this morning, and there's a track that they put out about 10 ways to go to hell. One of them is believe in God. A lot of people believe in God. Most of the world believes in God. Atheists are a very small portion of the population on the planet. Believing in God will get you to hell, unless you know the preaching of the cross.
Amen.
Okay, and so preaching of the cross is not just believe in God. What God? Who's God? What to do for my sins? You know, see, there's some things missing there. And so we need a Savior. We need Christ. We need to preach Christ. Preaching the law and showing people their sin is needed to bring us to the Savior. Galatians 3 verse 24 says, the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Christ is the purpose that the law was given. Not to make you better. The law has no power to make you better. Christ can save you from your sins. Right? Christ is the power of God into salvation. And so, Christ is the Savior. He provides the power of God. It's preaching about a person. Have you ever heard of that? Christians who say, we preach a person. Jesus Christ. Well, they're getting better. Before, they were just preaching. Before that, they weren't doing anything. Now they're preaching a person, a Christ. But there's still something missing, folks. The cross.
Amen.
Preaching just a person, that's exactly what we need. We need to preach Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is what it's about. It's about a man who did something for you. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 says, Christ was God manifest in the flesh, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, is what it says. Christ was God, the Son of God. You can read in the book of John, John's purpose of writing the book of John was to prove to Israel that Jesus was the Son of God. So there's teachings about Christ we need to be aware of. You can preach Christ a lot of different ways. You know, the Muslims preach Christ. Oh, does that surprise you? They do. The Muslims preach Christ. He was a great prophet. When they say Jesus Christ and say His name, you know, blessed to be Him, and that sort of, blessed be His name, that sort of thing. They honor Him as a prophet. Okay? It's only the ignorant Muslims who oppose Jesus Christ. Really. There's a lot of ways to preach Christ. Jehovah's Witnesses preach Christ. The Mormons preach Christ. The Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. You ever heard of them?
Yeah.
And so, what's wrong with that? They're Christians, right? They have crosses, right? They have Jesus Christ on their excellent website, right? No. It's not the preaching of the cross. Okay? There's a problem. The Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Muslims, all three teach that there's a scale. And at the end of the day, at the end of your life, there's a scale. If your good works outweigh your bad works, God will let you in. Right? Where's the preaching of the cross there?
No.
You see, it's absent. There's lots of ways to preach Jesus, but preaching Jesus even isn't enough. The people who say, I'm a Christ follower. You know, their intentions may be good, but just following Christ, trying to do the works that Christ did, ain't going to get you saved. You know what? You can't do them anyway.
Amen.
You can't be like Christ. You, not one day in your life have you lived a life like Christ. You've tried, you know. When can you crucify yourself with the sins of the world? When can you say, I'm sinless? Right? Some people have deceived themselves into thinking that. But preaching the cross of Christ is not you being a Christ follower. You need to believe a message about what Christ did for you. You know, the Hindus talk about Jesus. There's the African-American liberation theology Jesus. You seen the black Jesus? There's the Jesus is my husband doctrine. You know the worship songs? Jesus, lover of my soul. I love you. I'll never let you go. I'm going to hug you. That's in the song, you know. It's a worship song. People believe that I'm married to Christ. There's a Catholic, what do you call it, monastery? A convent with nuns in Kokomo, Indiana. Okay? The Clares. The Clares, the St. Clares. Is that right? The Sister Clares. The Poor Clares, thank you. Sister Poor Clares. And what they teach is they are the brides of Christ. They get married to Him. Now, they believe this. They have a ring to show it.
Yeah.
They get rings and say, I'm married to Christ, and they don't do community work on purpose. Okay, they don't go outside and try to minister, because their duty, their mission, married to Christ, is to be the mother of all Christians. And so they stay in their place and they pray for people to get grace and get blessings, that sort of business. You know what they're not doing? Preaching the cross. They're not getting anybody saved at all. And I'm doubtful if they're saved. They think salvation in Christianity is being married to Jesus. Right? That's not what it is. So it's not just about the person. Although Christ, God manifest in the flesh, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the second person of the Trinity, He is God. And He is the object of worship. Right? And yet, just preaching Him, the devils believe in God. When Jesus walked the earth, the devils looked at Him and said, you're the Son of God. They knew that. Right? What's that accomplished for your salvation? And so, there's a lot of ways to preach Jesus. The what would Jesus do doctrine is the wrong question to ask.
Yes.
What did Jesus do is the question to ask. What has He done for you? Okay, that's the power of God. We don't preach Christ as just a good man or a prophet or just the King of Israel. And we don't preach Christ especially as a baby in a manger. Wow. If it were just about the person, then it doesn't matter really, you know, if he's in the manger or growing up or through his life. It's his whole life. It's the person, you know. Let's write biographies about him. Let's make plays about his life. Every Easter, you'll see a reenactment of Jesus' life. And you know what's missing from a lot of those? It's the preaching of the cross. It's interesting. I mean, think about it. There's Jesus there. There's Christ there. Isn't that Christianity? Right? You have Jesus in his birth. You have Jesus when he, you know, is growing a little older. You have Jesus doing the miracles. You have Jesus walking around. You have Jesus in the fish and the loaves. You have Jesus going to the cross. You have Jesus on the cross. And then, lights out, I'd like to invite you to join our church and donate some money for this play. Right? Well, wait a minute. Where's the good news about the cross of Christ? Now, I know there are some churches out there that do that, and they do the play, and they preach the cross at the end, but you know, they're rare, folks.
Yes.
It's hard to find them. Or they'll mix it, we'll learn later today, they'll add things to the cross to make it of none effect. Right? But preaching Christ is not enough. Preaching Christ is not the preaching of the cross that saves. We need to preach what Christ did. People often say, we preach a person in Christianity. No, we preach a person and his work. What he did on the cross work, his finished cross work. The preaching of the cross. So it requires the cross. The cross is the wisdom of God in the message of the preaching of the cross. Now, when I say we preach the cross, I'm not talking about these things. Okay, I'm not talking about these symbols. I'm talking about when Christ died, his death and his resurrection, the act, the event, the historical thing that happened that cannot be repeated, that you can't follow him in, that nobody else has done, and no picture can articulate. Okay, it's an event. It's something you believe by faith, by reading it from the words of the Bible. It's kind of like, you know, in America, okay? We know in art history that there was a time that we were under British rule, right? What if some British person came over, and my apologies to all British people here this morning, they came over and started saying, well, you're all the colonies of Britain now, you know, and you need to pay us some tax and that sort of business. Wouldn't we cry out and say, don't you know that the Declaration of Independence, we declared our independence from you. There's an event in the past that changed everything after it.
Yes.
And with the cross, there was an event that happened that changed how we approach God and how He approaches us for all time after it.
Yes.
And people act like they don't know it. He'll act like they're still trying to follow the law, as if we're still trying to operate a religion. That's not it. The preaching of the cross is about a man and an event that changed the course of history and has saved men's souls when they believe what happened there on the cross. What happened by the cross, rather. Okay? And so, it's about an event. That's what, when you say the preaching of the cross, it's about the event. If we just preach Jesus Christ and a personal relationship with Him, have you heard this? You need to have a personal relationship with Jesus? And it's true that we, when we're saved, we have a relationship with Jesus. A personal one, we need to define maybe. Right? But the personal relationship with Jesus is not preaching what Jesus did for you. Relationship, isn't that two ways? Isn't that, I'm nice to Him, He's nice to me. You know, I talk to Him in prayer, He talks to me. It's a relationship, we got something going on here. The cross is what Jesus did, and He preaches it to you, and you believe it. That's it. There's no where I'm going to give something back to you, God. You know, this is what I'm going to do. So, again, the symbol of the cross, the reenactments of the cross, you know, people sometimes preach this like it's Jesus' name. It symbolizes Him. You know, remember years ago when you had that singer, Prince, and he changed his name to the symbol? Because they always said the artist formerly known as Prince. It's almost like this is the guy formerly known as Christ. Right there, you know. He represents that. That's not it. It's about a man and an event, what he did. It's an action. Okay, the cross is about God manifesting the flesh, doing something for us. It's something we cannot do. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Now, we've seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 where Paul says the preaching of the cross is the power of God to save them that believe. The preaching of the cross is the gospel. Listen here, 1 Corinthians 15, what the gospel is. He says in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you." We saw that in chapter 1. "Wherein ye stand, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain." There's a lot of people who say they're Christians, who say, "Oh, we got crosses on our doors. Yeah, Christ and the cross, that's important stuff." And you ask them, "Well, what happened on the cross? No, what is it that saved you? How is it that makes you a Christian? You know, how is it that you're saved and going to heaven and your sins?" And they don't know. Jesus and the cross, you know, is there something magical about that thing? You know, we talk about it, you know. The preaching of the cross is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, that Paul delivers unto them, first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for your sins, according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. His death for your sins, his resurrection for your justification, that event had an effect. Where God now is able to offer you salvation freely. He's able to justify you from your sins freely without any payment because Christ atoned. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 says, "Christ was made sin for you that you might be made the righteousness of God in him." Look at Romans chapter 4 verse 24. Romans chapter 4 verse 24. Your righteousness will not get you salvation. It will not obtain for you what you need to have eternal life. Your righteousness, God could care less about. Okay? Romans chapter 4, verse 22 and 23 talk about how God can look at you and impute righteousness, His righteousness to you. He doesn't want you to offer your righteousness. He wants you to say, "God, you are righteous. You alone are righteous. I'm going to depend on your provided righteousness in Christ." Romans 4, verse 22, "It was imputed to him for righteousness. It was written not for his sake," the him there's Abraham, "his sake alone that was imputed unto him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." If Jesus isn't Lord at all, he's Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Make him Lord of your life, you know. Making Jesus Lord of your life is not the gospel. Notice here, Jesus was Lord before the guy believed.
Yeah.
Right? God raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead before you even believed it. He's Lord, folks, whether you make him that or not. Right? Here, it's talking about God looking at you saying, "Okay, I'll put my righteousness on your account if you believe that I raised Christ from the dead for your offenses," verse 25, "and he resurrected for your justification." You see the gospel there, the preaching of the cross? What Christ did on your behalf. And so apparently Romans 5 verse 1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By the preaching of the cross, you're now at peace with Him. People say, "Make your peace with God." People say, "You need to get yourself right with God." The preaching of the cross is what does that. When you believe what Christ did, dying for your offenses, dying for your sins, and His resurrection for your justification, for your righteousness, okay? Not yours, His, because He did it. Then God looks at you and says, "We're at peace now. I'm not going to condemn you. You're not going to hell anymore. You're complete in me. It's been provided for you by grace." Okay, that's the preaching of the cross. You know, a lot of people preach a cross, and what they do is they put blood on it, and blood is important, and we need to put blood on it. And I remember going someplace where they showed a picture of the bloody Jesus, and he's there with the crown of thorns and his head, the blood dripping down his face. It's the cross, and they say, "See what he did there for you? You see what you did to put him there? Do you know what you did and what he had to die for? Don't you want to live better for him?" Right? And so look at the shame that he had to go through. Look at the suffering. Look at his example in his life. You know what that's not? The good news of the cross.
Amen.
Okay, the cross is something we glory in.
Amen.
If you haven't heard it before, hear it from someone who believes the preaching of the cross. "I'm glad Christ died."
Amen.
"I'm glorying in the fact that he died for me. Without that, I could not be saved."
Amen.
"I would not nail my Savior to the cross, but the fact that I know now that if he didn't die on the cross, I'd be condemned to hell, I'm happy for that."
Yes.
Okay, so Galatians 6.14 says, we glory in the cross, Galatians 6.14. Because we now know what that cross did. There was a time, we'll learn later today, where the cross was a shame. Israel should not have put him there. The Romans should have nailed him there. Right? But there was a message revealed after that that proclaimed what God had in a mystery, which is that Christ died on the cross for all men's sins. And he's offering salvation through that cross, his death and resurrection. Okay? So preaching the bloody Jesus, the passion of the Christ. You ever seen the Stations of the Cross? In Catholic cathedrals, they've got the Stations of the Cross, the stained glass pictures that show Jesus on his way to the cross. And people make a lot of his suffering.
Yeah.
You know what, folks? And maybe you think this is heresy here. I'm preaching Christ and him crucified, but his suffering, the amount of blood, the thorns that went into his side, and the glass and that went into his back, and they whipped him, that's not what saves you, folks.
Right.
The suffering is not. People make a big deal about that. That's why Catholics walk up steps in Jerusalem on their knees until they're bloody. That's why the Catholics put nails in their hands. That's why they believe in the stigmata. That's why they go through the suffering and the fasting and everything else. Because Christ went through the suffering. We should suffer as well. It's not the suffering that saves you.
Amen.
It's his death and resurrection that
Amen.
Saves you.
Amen.
It's what he accomplished there. Okay? And so it's not the bloody Jesus. It's not his pain and suffering. It's not the Stations where, and then he fell down and dropped the cross. And then his arm was dislocated. You know what? There are people in history that may have suffered more than Christ. The torture that people put people through is just incomprehensible to God, it says in Jeremiah. The things that people do to people, the bombs and the chemicals and the poisons and the torturous devices in the Middle Ages, Christ didn't have his fingers plucked out. He didn't have his ears ripped off. He didn't have his eyes poked. Right? I'm not trying to diminish God's suffering. I'm trying to point you to his death on the cross and his death and resurrection as the point of salvation there. As what's offered for your salvation. Because there are a lot of people that look at his suffering, even though there's very minimal verses about it in the Bible, and say, well, his suffering there means I suffer as well. Right? We need to be careful to delineate what is the true meaning of the cross, the preaching of the cross. Christ's cross is not just a soldier's death. You know, people give honor to the people who die for other people, their freedoms, their liberties, their families. Okay, they honor people's deaths. Christ's death is not on the same level as that. He's not just some guy who died on behalf, you know, for you and for your country and that sort of thing. It's not it. Even though those are honorable and noble things. Christ's death on the cross is what merits salvation for everybody. Okay? Without it, none of us have liberty. Without it, none of us are free. Without it, none of us are going to heaven. Christ's death and resurrection is the most important death and resurrection in history.
Yeah.
Okay? So Romans 4:24 there and 25 declare the preaching of the cross. Many believe Christianity and the Bible is just a list of do's and don'ts. They think becoming a Christian is, well, I'm not going to be a Christian today because I don't want to change my life yet. You know, I don't want to do all the good things and stop doing all my bad things. And, you know, I don't want to go to church every Sunday. And they think it's a list of do's and don'ts. And it's not. The preaching of the cross is then that perish foolishness. It's saying that Christ died and resurrected to merit your salvation. And by putting your faith in it, God looks at you and declares you righteous and you're at peace with him and gives you eternal life. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You mean I don't have to tithe? Nope. You mean I don't have to go to church every week? Nope. The preaching of the cross, done deal. You believe it, it's done.
Amen.
Now, of course, we read the Bible and we see the consequences of that. And don't we, when we look at the cross, we understand the importance of sin and the importance of righteousness. And we understand that we're not the righteous one. We're the sinful one. And we point to Christ, the righteous one, who died for us. Many people think that it requires confession to pay for our sins. It requires penance to make it to heaven. Okay, Christ did the work already. It's finished. It's over. It's done. It's complete. The preaching of the cross is the declaration of the thing that he did for your salvation. You believe it, that's it. You're saved. You trust the cross work of Christ, his finished work. Why is it that this is missing for so many churches? Why is it this is not found in so many people that carry the symbols?
Mm.
Right? They don't preach it. They're preaching good works. They're preaching religious rituals. They're preaching being a Christian is good behavior. Right? Well, what religion doesn't teach that? Being a Buddhist is good behavior. Being a Muslim is good behavior. What's the difference? The preaching of the cross is something that's not discovered by self-reflection. Something that's God revealed as the power of God to salvation. Okay, there's a large portion of Christianity that's ignorant of the preaching of the cross.
Yeah.
And we've seen, we've discovered the preaching of the cross in a few passages here in Romans and 1 Corinthians. And yet we ask the question, why is it this is missing from so much of Christianity? Well, the answer is that it's not found everywhere in your Bible. Okay? And again, this may be a shocking statement, and again, we're exploring this doctrine this morning, but you can't find the preaching of the cross back in Exodus and Deuteronomy and Leviticus. You can't find the preaching of the cross in Psalms. You can't find it in Jeremiah. Okay? The preaching of the cross is something revealed after Christ died to an apostle that first declared it and preached it in 1 Corinthians. Okay? That first declared it here. And so it's a large portion of Scripture that keeps the preaching of the cross a secret. 1 Corinthians 2:7 said it had to be so. Look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. Jeremy will pick this up in the next hour. 1 Corinthians 2, 6 and 7. Paul says, "We speak wisdom, not the wisdom of the world." The wisdom of the world says good people ought to do good works for other people on the earth, because that's humanity, that's compassion, that's love. The chief tenet of secular humanism is love your neighbor. It leaves out love God. It leaves out the preaching of the cross. The world comes to the conclusion that there's good works and bad works. The preaching of the cross, God's revelation, is that Christ died on the cross for our sins and resurrected for our justification. Paul says, "We speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world, that come to naught. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world into our glory." He says in Romans 16, "If the preaching of Christ according to the mystery was kept secret since the beginning of the world." It was revealed. And Paul talks about it in Romans and 1 Corinthians, the glory of the cross. Okay? What we find is the majority portion in our Bible, the preaching of the cross is a mystery. It's hidden. It's unknown. The mystery has been revealed now about Christ and His cross. We've been preaching it. Some people have been preaching it for 2,000 years, and people have been saved by it, else I wouldn't be standing here. Okay? And so the gospel's been preached, but it's been opposed. It's been hidden. It's been confused. It's been added to, made ineffectual by religious people.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Who no doubt are operating according to their flesh, the course of the world, or the devil.
Yes.
Okay? And so when people come to the Bible, and we know that it's only in a certain portion, they've got to pick and choose which part is Christianity. If Christianity goes by a book, if we're to believe this book, then how do we know which verse trumped the others? No doubt when I've been preaching this morning, verses may be coming to your mind. Past sermons coming to your mind. Say, wait a minute. I remember reading in Matthew. I remember reading in Mark. I remember reading in the book of John and Hebrews. Hey, there's something more than just this cross business. How do you pick and choose? How do you know which verse is more important than the other? How do you know which verse is the true preaching of the cross? Well, that's the next lesson where Jeremy will talk about the missing cross and how to rightly divide your Bible.